I read from the Word of God, from Lamentations chapter 3, verses 19 through 24. This is God's Word. Remember my affliction and my wanderings, the wormwood and the gall. My soul continually remembers it and is bowed down within me. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. This is God's word. On behalf of my family and the church family I represent now, I extend condolences publicly to you guys, to my other family, the Lutchins family. If there's anything that you guys need after today going forward, you know that we're here. You know that we're family, and so we are with you. This is a great honor. I thank you for the opportunity to preach God's word on the day when we remember my friend and my partner. Usually, he and I would be talking about how to do funerals together. It was not until maybe a month ago that I ever began to think about speaking at his. Remember joking with Heidi and Jeff and Carrie, and we were remembering working on Susan's service a little over 4 years ago. And when Susan was still alive, she was having input in the service and what she wanted. She wanted me to preach from John 20. And this was the point of time that her illness had progressed when she couldn't talk, but she could still make known what she wanted to communicate. And she made known that she wanted a homily and not a sermon. And she couldn't talk, but she did like this to to try to communicate what she wanted me to know. And honestly, Kurt gave up a long time ago. But we'll try and be brief anyway. I had the great privilege of working with Kurt for the last 4.5 years of his 22 plus years here at Grace and Peace. And I learned a lot from him, a lot about pastoring and shepherding. But honestly, more than that, just about living. And one of the things that Kurt modeled for us, and us, I'm talking about the other elders particularly, was this idea of what it means to lament, this practice of lament. And I want to speak briefly this morning around the idea of lament and hope. Lament and hope. What is that? What is lament? One person defines it as this. Lament is facing and telling the truth about the brokenness that we see in the world and in ourselves, and bring in those things before God. Not to get all the answers, because we don't, but wrestling with them and struggling with them before Almighty God. Why is it so important to do that? Otherwise, what we find is that we're going to deal superficially with all that brokenness, and we'll only engage it on a surface level, and we won't be able to live and love deeply at all. And one of the things that strikes all of us, I think, about Kurt is that he was able to live and to love deeply. And I believe one of the reasons is because he was able to practice what it meant to lament. And he did that with many of us here today. I know that as you heard that Kurt was in the hospital, and as these weeks have gone on, there have been things that you remembered. There's been moments that you remember today, aren't there? When Kurt was with you in your struggle. When he was there with you in your pain. When he was there with you when you're weeping, in your own struggle, when you didn't know if you were going to make it, he was there, lamenting there with you. And we remember those things. We also lament today because, remember, there's a lot of joyful moments, aren't there, that Kurt shared with us. There's a lot of baptisms that he did right over there and pronouncing that Huguenot's blessing. There are a lot of people that he married, a lot of babies that he came to see in the hospital. A lot of people that he taught in Bible study or prayer group, or a lot of people that he had coffee with over at Touche Cafe just behind us. And so we lament because we miss those two. And we certainly know that Kurt lamented things in his own life, and maybe none more so than losing his wife Susan to death just over 4 years ago. I remember in April of 2015, Kurt was just about to come back. Susan had died in February, and Kurt was about to come back to work. He was actually anxious to get back because he loved y'all, and he wanted to be with you. But we were having lunch on the porch on his back deck, and he had grilled hamburgers, and just he and I were sitting there at the table, the picnic table, talking. And he said, "You know what? I think that my time is done." And he had talked with you guys about this already. And he said, I think this is it. And he said, mainly because I can't imagine doing this without Susan. He would often say that she is my biggest fan and my biggest critic. And she was. But he couldn't imagine that thought. And that began the process where he would step down at the end of 2017. But we come and we lament today the pain and suffering that many of us saw our brother go through the year after he retires. He steps down and he's in constant pain day after day during this time when we hope that he'd be resting. We lament that the cancer that took his life went undiagnosed for so long, so much of that time. We lament that it seemed to come so quickly and take his life, and there's things that we lament that we wish we could have said, or things that we wish we could have done. Or maybe honestly, we lament things that we did say or things that we did do. And maybe we wish we hadn't. And we lament with you guys, Carrie and Jeff and Heidi, as within the space of just 4 years, suffering the death of both of your parents. Can't imagine what that pain is like. So what do we do with that today? Well, there's at least four different options that we can respond to very real pain and suffering like today and like every day. There's a book I was reading by Kelly Capick. It's called Embodied Hope. And it gives this quadrant of hope and lament. It says, on the one hand, you can have hope without lament, but all that is just naive optimism. That's like the false prophets of the Old Testament who proclaim peace, peace, when there really is no peace. Or another thing you can do is have lament with no hope. And all that is unrelenting despair. And we grieve, as Paul talks about, as those who have no hope. We can go the route of having no hope and no lament and being a life of detached stoicism, not really able to love or even really live. Or we can go the route of having both lament and hope, and combine that leads to faithful suffering. And that is our call. That is what our brother demonstrated. How did he do that? Well, one thing that Kurt liked to do is he liked to sing. And so we would open every staff meeting or every session meeting, whatever it was, with a song. And one of the favorite songs that Kurt liked to sing, some of y'all know those verses. It says, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercy shall never. They are new every morning. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O God. Great is thy faithfulness." Do you know where the words of that song come from? You say, "Yes, Pastor, from the Bible." Yes, that's true. From the Old Testament. Yes. From Lamentations. Yes, I know. But do you also know where they come from? Those words come from a place of deep suffering, individually and in a whole community. If you go and you look at this book, maybe there's some things as you read it that you can identify with. At the beginning of this chapter, it says, "I'm a man who's seen affliction under the rod of his wrath." God's, he's talking about. Anybody ever feel like that? "He," God, "has driven and brought me in the darkness without any light." It's all right to admit you feel that way. That's not showing an absence of faith. That's a depth of faith, that you can bring that before God. But later here in the chapter, he says, my soul is bereft of peace. Do you know what that feels like? He says here in the next verse, I have forgotten what happiness is. Have you ever been in that place? He says, I say my endurance has perished. I'm tired. I've suffered pain on top of pain. I'm tired. I don't have the energy to keep on going anymore. And then he says here in this last part, so not only has my endurance perished, but so has my hope from the Lord. He's saying, I don't have enough strength to hope in God now. This is in the Bible. That's what he's saying. Maybe that's what some of you might be feeling today as we come here. I thought you said, Pastor, I thought this was lament and hope. Where's the hope? Well, let's keep going. It says in verse 19, he calls on God. He says, remember my affliction and my wandering. He's literally homeless. And he's saying, God, are you there? God, remember me. Remember the wormwood and the gall, and those are metaphors for bitterness, because that's what he feels like his life is full of. And he says, God, if you don't remember, I remember. My soul continually remembers it. You know how it is when you're suffering, it feels like you can't even think about anything else. And that's the place where he is. And then he says, my soul is bowed down within me. This is a place of depression. That's where he is in the Bible. So where is the hope? It comes in the next part, in the next verse. See, in verse 20, there is kind of a passive remembering. I'm suffering, and so that makes me remember something. But then in verse 21, there is an active remembering. What do I mean? He says, but this I call to mind. I'm going to remember something on purpose. I'm in the midst of my pain and struggle, and so I'm going to call something to remembrance. And he says, therefore, I have hope. What in the world could that be? In the next verse, it's this. The steadfast love of the Lord. This is God's loyal, covenant, faithful love. That says even if you change your mind about God, he's not going to change his mind about you. Because he's committed to you. It's not based on something in you. It's based on his character. It's based on something in him. And he is faithful. And it says of this love that it never ceases. It can't be taken away by circumstances. It can't be taken away by time. It can't be taken away by our sin. It can't even be taken away by death. It never ceases. And it says here, his mercies, they never come to an end. But on the contrary, they are new every morning. Well, if that's true, this is a morning. And so that means it's true today. That his mercies are new today. His mercies are new every morning. And then finally he says, great is thy faithfulness. And there's another song that we know that comes from that. It says, great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning. New mercies I see. All that I have needed, thy hand has provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Right in our places of deepest pain, this is what the writer calls to mind. This is before the circumstances change. This is before the world is healed. This is while the tears are still wet on his face. He's still looking to this. And so can we. And so did our brother Kurt. It leads him in verse 24 to say, the Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. Now, that portion metaphor, it's not talking about food. It's actually a metaphor about land. If you go back in the Old Testament and you look at the people of Israel, when they receive their inheritance and they go into the promised land and they receive their particular part, it says, here, family, tribe, this is your portion. And so what he says here is, I don't need land, I need the Lord. The Lord is my portion. The Lord is the place where I'm going to dwell. The Lord is my hope. The Lord is my security. And so he says, therefore, I will hope in him. And Kurt had this hope. This is how he's able to hold both lament and hope together. They're not either or. They're both and. We need to go to both. And the great news in closing is that Kurt knew, and we know, even more than the writer of Lamentations did, because we know the ultimate lamenter. And we know the ultimate hope, our Lord Jesus Christ. You want to know today if it's all right to lament? Look at him. Think about the times in the Bible where he's weeping with us. Think about the times where it says Jesus weeps. Do you remember in John 11 where he's about to raise Lazarus from the dead? He knows the purpose for which this is for, and yet he still weeps with them in their pain and sorrow. A little bit later, as he looks over the city of Jerusalem, he weeps for it because he said the things of peace were before you, but you passed them by. He weeps with us. He weeps with you today. Do you think it's all right to hope? Well, look at him if you're wondering about that. One of his laments from the cross is taken from the Psalms. He says, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's a lament that he takes from the scriptures. And he proclaims that on the cross. Because on the cross, he was forsaken. Why? So that through faith in him, you and I would never be forsaken. So we would always have hope through faith in him. Many people have said, well, Jesus is the answer. And if Jesus is the answer, what are the questions? Well, I don't know all of them, but there's a couple that we can answer today. There's anybody wondering today, in the midst of your own struggle, in the midst of your tears, in the midst of your pain, in the midst of your sorrow, if you're here and you're wondering, is it true, Pastor, that the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases? Well, we look at the person and the power of Jesus Christ, and we can say the answer is yes, 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 it's true. You say, is it true? Is it really true that his mercies never come to an end? We look at Jesus and we say, yes, it's true. Is it true that they are new every morning, even on this morning? Yes. Is it true that his faithfulness is great? Yes. 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 It's true. And so along with Kurt, let us today make Jesus our portion so that we can look to him in our lamenting and in our hoping. There's a brother from Rwanda who had lost everything. He lost his family. He lost his home. And someone asked him about his belief in Jesus, and he said, you know what? I never knew that Jesus was all I needed until Jesus was all that I had. Do you know that today? Let us take our lament and hope and find them in him. Father, we thank you for your word. On a day like today, when there's weeping and sorrow and pain and suffering, we still come to you with our questions, with our grief, whatever it is that we bring. And we thank you that you're a big enough God to take it. And we can rest in you. And we can look to your Son, Jesus Christ, and know even though we don't know all the answers to all of our questions, we know for sure that your steadfast love never ceases because we see him. So comfort this family today. Comfort your people, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.